Our scripture reading this morning starts with Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77. Next, Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." And lastly, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Marvana, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to everybody here in the room, and good morning to everybody online today. My name is Emily. I'm part of our pastoral team, and it is my joy to kick off our new sermon series today. It's called Relationship Matters. Each one of us is in relationship with all kinds of people on any given day or year. Think about it. A parent, a child, a grandparent, an uncle, a neighbor, a coworker, the person who repairs your vehicle, the person who fixes the plumbing at your house, the person who helps when your phone's not working and you talk to them for hours. Think about the number of people with whom you interact on any given day. Add colleagues and coworkers, commuters on 95. And the people you see when you walk your dog or go to the coffee shop. Just think about all the people you see and with whom you interact day after day. Each of us has a unique network of those relationships, and they all matter, though we value them differently. There are dynamics in each of these relationships too, and that's what we'll be studying in our series, these relationship matters like forgiveness, communication, trust, empathy, listening. And today we start with one of the hardest ones and focusing on what the Bible has to say about it. And we'll give you some tools too. Today we talk about forgiveness. And we could do a whole course on forgiveness, a whole seminar on forgiveness. In fact, we have here at the church. We've taught classes on that before, and we'll do that again. And so I had all this material, but we only have like 20 minutes. So I'm going to stick to my notes carefully today. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, you are a God of forgiveness. We thank you for who you are. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable, pleasing in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock and our refuge and our redeemer. And it is in your name that we pray. As all God's people say, amen. Well, children can teach us a lot about ourselves as adults. I used to serve as a guest storyteller in a preschool, and I remember one day when I was going into a class, I got there extra early, and in that time I witnessed an exchange between two of the students. A girl took a toy from a boy. He was not excited about this. He called her names. He was crying. He was angry. He poked her. And the teacher witnessed this entire exchange. She made them go through all the motions, right? She made them apologize. She made them forgive each other and tried to bring some sense of reconciliation. They went through all the words and the motions, but you could tell their hearts were not in it in the least. And when I was telling that story and the teacher couldn't see what they were doing, they were still giving dirty looks to each other. And after that story time was over, they started playing again, and this time the boy took a toy from the girl. And on it went. Kids often react immediately when someone harms or hurts them. They retaliate, they fall apart, they hang on to hurt for a while. My cousin is a parent of three and has been a kindergarten teacher a long time, and she told me last week, in all the years that she's been a mom and a teacher, she said, "I am convinced that forgiveness does not come naturally to any of us. It's something that we have to teach. It's not the way we're wired as human beings." She said forgiveness takes practice, and so we practice it with the kids, and it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. I think she's right. As we not only have trouble with forgiveness when we're children or preschoolers, we have trouble with it as adults, both to forgive and to admit when we're wrong. We're still in many ways like those two children, holding grudges, counting offenses, saying words that hurt, wanting to retaliate and more, no matter our age. Forgiveness, genuine forgiveness, is hard work and so needed in any relationship. We all have trouble with it, as we never know the whole story. We make mistakes. We don't understand. We hurt others, and we get hurt too. Hurt comes in many forms, shapes, sizes. It may be intentional or not. It may be a one-time thing or not. The neighbor criticizes your parenting. Classmate uses a slur against you. A driver cuts you off on 95. Your father yells at you when you forget your books you need for your homework. A coworker drops the ball and blames you for it. Someone lashes out in a meeting at church. Your spouse criticizes you again. A friend betrays you. A drunk driver hits your brother. Then there's the harm that's part of abuse. Addiction, violence, trauma. We can hurt and be hurt in more ways than we can count. It is a risk in any relationship, and it's not okay. What it is life lived with imperfect people, the only kind of people there are. Every relationship is imperfect. And we have to work on all our relationships, all our lives, because all of us are imperfect, sinful. And many of us carry the weight and pain of what has been done to us, or all that we have done to another, or both. And it takes a toll. God wants something better for us. God invites us to walk a little lighter, let go of the weight. God wants to carry that weight for us through a gift that God gives us again and again. A gift that God hopes we will learn to give to others, the gift of forgiveness. What does Scripture teach about it? A lot, in fact, some of which makes us uncomfortable. Think about the prayer that Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. We call it the Lord's Prayer. There's a line in there: "Forgive us our trespasses, debt, sin, as we forgive those who trespass against us." I heard a story once about a man who said he refused to pray the Lord's Prayer anymore because if it meant he had to forgive someone who had cheated on him, he wasn't ready to do that and had no intention of ever doing that. And so he said he would not pray the Lord's Prayer for the rest of his life. Or if he was forced to do it, he said he'd leave that line out. Does Jesus mean God does not forgive us if we do not forgive others? Does Jesus mean at the very least that forgiveness matters greatly in the kingdom of God? And people who are forgiven by God are being shaped to be people who learn to forgive others with God's help. Look at today's scripture passage. The first one, Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, and I'll do a little bit following that. It's a section on forgiveness. Peter asks Jesus how many times we are to forgive. And Peter suggests this, this generous 7 times. Jesus, though, takes it uncomfortably further. He tells Peter that 7 times is not enough. He says 70 times 7, which is 490, or 77 times, depending on which translation you have. Either way is a lot. With no mention of repentance as a prerequisite for it, Jesus is essentially telling Peter, stop counting. If you're counting, then the forgiveness is not likely genuine. I can picture us having a tally right on the fridge. I'm up to number 5 with Aunt Doreen. At work, I just hit number 7 with my coworker. So yes, I am free now to nurse that grudge and get her back. When we do that, we are like the 2 kids in the classroom who can't let it go. Jesus says forgiveness, when we follow him as our Savior, is beyond calculation. But we need a word of caution here. Because over the years and decades, these verses have been used in harmful and manipulative ways. These verses are not about toleration of or overlooking abuse or harmful behavior. No. We need healthy boundaries around harm and hurt. Jesus does not want anyone to be abused. Hear that. Look at the story that Jesus tells next. We didn't read it out loud this morning. I invite you to go back and read it this week. I'll give you a quick synopsis. But the story's about the gracious, incalculable forgiveness of God toward us and how that forgiveness does transform us, works in us by the grace of God to make us forgiving people who learn to renounce our bent to revenge or retaliate or hold a grudge. Because in that story Jesus tells, a servant owes a king an unpayable amount, about 10,000 times 15 years worth of salary, and he and his family will be sold to make a dent in the amount. Then the king makes this crazy, unexpected, altruistic, merciful choice. He chooses to forgive the debt instead. And then the servant goes to someone who owes him a somewhat payable amount, about 3 months' worth of salary. But the servant attacks and imprisons that man. And the fellow servants see what has happened and they tell the king about it. And the king decides to revoke his mercy toward the first man and imprisons him for his lack of mercy for another. And makes him responsible for that original enormous debt after all. Verse 35, Jesus says uncomfortable words. This is what Jesus says God will do to you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And we want to say, whoa, Jesus, I can't forgive like you when someone has harmed me deeply. Jesus is not surprised by that. Jesus knows We can't. Christian forgiveness is not based on what we can do. Christian forgiveness is based on what God can do, based on who God is and what God does for us, in us, and through us. That makes the difference. The parable is meant to make us uncomfortable in the holiest of ways, to move us to Christ-centered mercy and stress the matter of forgiveness in our relationships. It's also a reminder to not take our cues from the world, which models retaliation and grudges and reverses the golden rule, telling us to treat others as they have already treated us, or worse. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus teaches in Matthew 7 that we are to treat others the way we want to be treated. And Scripture says vengeance is never ours to take, only God's. Romans 12 says not to repay evil for evil or harm for harm, but through our baptism, by the grace of God, we know how much we have been forgiven, and forgiven people learn what it is from God to forgive. This is who God is shaping us to be. Look at our second passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 26 has those familiar words, do not let the sun go down on your, what? Anger. Acknowledging first that anger is a part of life, so we need to learn how to work through it in a healthy way and not hurt anyone else with it. Unresolved anger can eat us up and tear apart relationships and families and communities. Don't let it fester. Ask God to help you deal with it in a healthy way. And verse 29, when we read that one, it stops us short. Let no evil talk come out of our mouths, it says. None. Use only words, it says, that encourage and build up so that our words give grace to those who hear. Some of us might need to ask the Holy Spirit to sit on our tongues. Verse 31 says, put away not some but all bitterness, anger, wrath, wrangling, slander, malice, verbal attacks on another destroy relationships, communities, families. These words in Greek refer to picking fights and belittling others and nursing grudges and lashing out when we don't get our way and losing our temper and shouting rather than listening and so much more. All the ways that we violate the community and relationships Christ wants for us. And then we get to verse 32. Use our words and actions instead to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven us. And then the big one, chapter 5, verse 1, imitate God no less, it says. Live in love as Christ loved us. Wow, right? Love somebody like God does? We cannot do that without the help of God. Here in Paul's writing, concern for relationships in the community, concern for the community, for the health of the church, for the health of our families, for the health of our hearts. In this new life that Jesus offers, a life that can be more light and more free and more at peace in Christ. And if all that doesn't make an impact yet, think about forgiveness from another angle. What happens when we don't forgive? Why does forgiveness matter? Why do it beyond the call from Christ? Well, there's this old saying that not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. It doesn't. It hurts us. And there's that old story about the two POWs you might have heard before. One says to the other, have you forgiven your captors yet? And the person says, I will never do that. And he responds, then they still have you in prison, don't they? Resentment, grudges, hatred, and anger have devastating and corrosive effects on our soul. The words that come out of us, the actions that come out of us. In a family, in a community, we forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve some peace. Let it go. Marjorie Thompson writes, to forgive is to make a conscious choice to release the person who has wounded us from the sentence of our judgment, however justified that judgment may be. Forgiveness means the power of the original wound to hold us trapped is broken. True forgiveness is hard work. And it sounds lovely until the time comes to do it. Let God nudge us in that way. We want to give you some practical steps too today to help us all move forward. There's a path, it's called REACH. It's something I've based on the work of Everett Worthington. It's something that we've taught here at church. It's something that counselors, Christian counselors will use. Sometimes I've edited it a little bit. But it's a path toward forgiveness that helps us when the hurt is so deep that we can get stuck in it and don't want to move forward. So learn the gift of letting go of the weight and giving that to God to carry, not you. I'm going to walk through this little by little. The first one says, recall the hurt, which means that we face the fact that we have been hurt. We recall it, we name it, not reestablish it. That's something very different. But to recall it, one way to do that is to write a letter to the other person as if you were going to send it to them, but don't send it to them. Work it out. Write it out. Forgiveness is a choice and a process, and this helps us to get through it. Take time. Don't rush it. This is not denying our hurts or glossing over them. It's not saying it wasn't that bad. It was that bad. And name it. Ask Jesus to help. Because naming it helps us take a half step back from it and not hold on anymore. E, this empathize with the offender. That may sound strange. But the truth is we never know the full truth. We make assumptions and we usually assume the worst about the other person and assume the best about ourselves. And only God knows the whole story. This is not making excuses for the other person or having them write you a letter as if you're hearing what you wanted to hear. It's what do you think they would say if you sat in their chair? Helps get us outside of our own heads and unpack it a little more. The third one, this is a biggie. Accept the gift of God's forgiveness. Acknowledge God's forgiveness of you. Forgiveness costs God, look at that cross, forgiveness costs God more than it will ever cost us. God has a blank check on immeasurable forgiveness marked paid in full. It is simply profoundly a gift to be received from the one who made you and loves you in an unstoppable way. We accept the gift and by the grace of God are changed by it. Let God carry the weight that you've been carrying. God can already see beyond the hurt to who you will be on the other side of it when you let it go. Let God's gift free you. And then confess the choice that you have made. Mark it. Tell a trusted friend. Write it in a journal. Today I forgave so-and-so. Or today I took the first step toward beginning to forgive so-and-so. Tell someone who will be a witness with you, who will honor your choice in faith and help you not go back. And the last one, hold on to that choice. Mark it. For the first several weeks, there are so many temptations to resume the grudge or nurse the pain. Set up an object of remembrance. You will see in your path every day a cross, a stone, a candle, whatever is meaningful for you. Set it up as a remembrance, marking your commitment to forgiveness. Strong emotions will come sometimes, but with God's strength, we can commit and recommit to the choice to forgive. Take the time to mark it. This path is about working through our side of the hurt, our stuff. Sometimes that's all we can control. It doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. We can't necessarily control that because we can't control the other person. Forgiveness helps us heal our relationship with God, with ourselves, with others. Forgiveness helps to heal the community and families too, and releases to the Lord all the yuck that we've been holding on to for so long. We can choose to begin to heal and forgive now, this gift from God. Won't change the past, but it can sure change the future. And there's no chance for peace without forgiveness. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, this was a hard sermon to write. It started as 8 pages. I had to get it to 4. It's still a little long. Forgiveness is hard for pastors too, because we don't have all this sorted out either. There's so much more to say. We are all in some ways like those 2 kids in the preschool class. We see and experience a lot over the years. I have hurt and have been hurt by others too. And it takes time to process that with God. I can't process it without God, who is my creator, redeemer, sustainer, my anchor. Forgiveness is a gift God gives us. A gift God invites us to give to others and ourselves. So may we choose what God chooses for us, a life of forgiveness for those God calls forgiven, for you and me. Amen. Amen.